All right. Thank you so much for having me. This is my first. You get me real, raw, unrefined, not fine-tuned, just straight out of obedience and brokenness. And so it's a privilege to be here. I told my dad I've known that I was supposed to do ministry with him for 6 years, and I was just waiting until the Lord said it was time, and apparently it's time. So this is my first trip ever with my dad, partnering with him, so it's really special, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I feel like I'm kind of stepping into something new, and so being here, it's going to always be a special place for me because it's the beginning of something, I believe. So my name is Brittany Baker. I'm from Sacramento, California, and I am not a professional. I am not seasoned. I am very new at this, and so I felt this expectation and pressure to look very put together and refined, but I'm not. I'm just a human. I'm a young woman trying to say yes to the Lord, and that looks like me stumbling and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this, but I don't know what it looks like, and I'm scared, and, you know, so I just want to put that out there. So if you're looking for the best sermon ever, it's probably not going to be that, but if you're looking for someone who's walked through some things and has encountered Jesus and is going to just share her heart with you, that's what you're going to experience. And I believe that's what the world needs today. They don't need someone who's put together. They need someone who gets in the dirt and says, I know how it feels. I'm right there with you. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. But I know someone who does, right? And so the first thing I want to do is, oh, this is fun too. I left my Bible here. I was praying in here, and it's my professional Bible. It's inscribed and all that. And then, no, I'm supposed to have this one. And I really struggle reading the Bible daily. It's a discipline. How many others struggle? Discipline of reading the Bible. So I was in Georgia, and my friend works with Walk Through the Bible. This is not a plug. I don't work for them. I was talking to her, and she said, hey, this will help you. So I am someone who's been walking with the Lord for a majority of my life, and I still struggle reading the Bible consistently. And so this is a tool that God gave me because he knows my humanity, and he said, I don't care that you struggle. Just work at it. And so this Bible has something every day, and I've been reading for 19 days straight now. So, right? And so I felt like he asked me to... He was like, I was in here and I was praying earlier, and I was like, Lord, I want an outline. I want to be organized. I want to be structured. I'm a woman of excellence. You know, I want to come in equipped and prepared. And I felt like he said, yeah, that's not how it's going to be tonight. This is the first time of you sharing from your heart something that's very real and vulnerable. And you need to be willing to be exposed and to not look like you have it all together tonight. And so my daily walk through the Bible is where my scriptures are. It's not going to be perfect, but I am stepping into something because as humans, we are broken. We're not perfect, right? So I'm going to take off my shoes as well because I feel more human and close to Jesus. And I already asked permission, so I asked Judy permission earlier, and I've actually paced this whole thing, so it's worn in for me. So I feel very comfortable here. So the first thing I want to just... That's catching it? Is that better? See, stuff like that. That's going to happen. So the first thing I want to talk about is the supremacy of Jesus. Colossians 1. And I'm just going to read that. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So I wanted to start with that, right? Because I grew up thinking of Jesus as this God, you know, that's just, I knew that he was ruler over everything. I know that, you know, he's sitting at the right hand of God. I know that in him and through him we have our being, and that he's supreme. Everything sits on his shoulders. The government's on his shoulders. Everything is below him, under his feet. So we have this picture of the supremacy of God, right? But the last 5 years of my life, I experienced the humanity of Jesus. And I was never taught that. But he is fully God and fully man, still. And I'll prove it. Hebrews 2, 5 through 18. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. So now he's talking about us. We are a little bit lower than angels. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. I'll skip down a little bit. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death we might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. That's us. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I've been crying all day, so it's just going to happen. I'm fine with it. What I experienced was not the Jesus who was sitting, you know, at the right hand of God. I experienced a Jesus who moved in close to me and who wept with me, who held my hand, who entered into my pain and said, I get it. I'm right here with you. And growing up, I went on this thing called the World Race, and I traveled the world and saw miracles, you know, saw the Lord do crazy things, heard his voice, saw healings, and just kind of stepped into all that. And then, so I saw encounters. I had encounters. One time I encountered him for 6 hours in a Chinese underground church in Malaysia with an evangelist from Ghana. Crazy stuff. But I encountered him, and I had these encounters that I thought were it, you know. Oh, this encounter. I heard his voice. I felt him. I felt Holy Spirit move. I saw him move. I saw signs and wonders. And I love that. How many of you guys want to see signs and wonders? I feel that in this church. But the thing that I realized was that I didn't know that Jesus had emotions. I didn't comprehend that he's still fully human while being God. And so in my pain and my suffering, he became my friend who related to me. Which is crazy, because I just read the supremacy of Jesus. Everything is in him. He is the answer to everything. Yet he's willing to come to me when I cry out to him and he's willing to sit with me when I'm weeping. He moves in. And this has been a message that's been building in me, and I would always say, well, I don't know if it's biblical or not, but this is my experience. I feel like when I'm in pain, Jesus comes in and I encounter him in a way that I don't in any other time. And it's biblical. I found that out a few days ago in counseling. So Psalm 18. And I'm going to read it in the Message version because it's awesome. So I'm going to break it up. So it says, I love you, God. You make me strong. God is bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live, my rescuing knight. I got to know Jesus as my rescuing knight. But you don't need someone to rescue you unless you need to be rescued. You won't know him as your rescuing knight unless you're walking through pain and danger, right? And we want to rush out of these seasons of pain and turmoil. But what I realized is, in those seasons, I get to know Jesus in a way that I never did before. And I found myself saying, how much longer is this pain going to last? That was the start of it, was let me just get to the end of this. Let me just get to the promised land. But then at the end, it changed to, don't take me to the promised land until I see your face, until I see and encounter you in all the ways that you have for me. It became much more about him than about the fruit of what I was praying for. It became much more about getting to know Jesus rather than, okay, well, this is what I'm contending for. This is what I'm fighting for. I want an answer, God. It was, I don't really want the answer. I don't really want it anymore because I'm content being here with you in pain, which sounds twisted. But he became my rescuing knight. My God, the high crag, where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout. I sing to God, the praise lofty, and find myself safe and saved. The hangman's noose was tied at my throat. Devil waters rushed over me. Hell's ropes cinched me tight. Death traps barred every exit. A hostile world. I call to God. I cry to God to help me. From his palace, he hears my call. My cry brings me right into his presence, a private audience. And I feel like so many people miss out on an encounter with God because they want to get out of the pain. And I'm telling you, the man, the God man I encountered in my pain made my pain worth it. The intimacy that I found when I was on my face with him was worth it. And it was 5 years of excruciating pain and not knowing when it would end, not knowing if I would receive what I was hoping and longing for. But I had a private audience. It was me and him in a way that I had never experienced before. In a way that we won't long for when things are good. Because we're humans. We lose sight of how much we need Jesus when things are good, right? Because we just get caught up in what's happening. But when you're in pain, that is a doorway and an invitation to intimacy. More so than ever before. So it goes on to say, earth wobbles and lurches, huge mountains shake like leaves, quake like aspen leaves because of his rage. So this rage is because he's coming. He hears your cry, and he comes from his palace to you. And so if you're in pain right now and you're broken, you have an invitation to have a private one-on-one journey with Jesus. That he saves for people who are in pain. Because I've talked to people and I've experienced pain. In college, I experienced pain without Jesus. The pain that I experienced made me question his existence. It made me doubt him. It made me almost run away from him. I text my dad and said, God does not exist. Because if he did, A, B, C, D, F, G would not be happening to me. Because I'm a good girl and I'm trying to do the right thing. And there were just tragedies all around me. I didn't deserve it. And so it would make me question his love for me. And when you walk through pain without Jesus, it leads to depression, isolation, doubts, unforgiveness, all kinds of things. You lack joy and peace because Jesus is joy and peace. And that was me in college. I was broken and isolated for 6 months. And then I walked through pain with Jesus, and it was beautiful. But it was 5 years. And his yoke was easy and it was light. 85% of the time, I had joy and peace because I was in it with Jesus. And there's some of you here today that have not invited Jesus into the pain that you're walking in. And you're depressed and lonely and isolated. And I'm here to tell you that you have a private invitation, a one-on-one encounter with Jesus waiting for you if you would cry out to him. And be honest. Another thing I heard was that your lack of honesty is preventing your breakthrough. Because you want people to think that you have it together. But until you cry out for Jesus, breakthrough will not come. Because guess what? He wants you to know him more than he wants you to have your breakthrough. He steps down. I'm just going to read highlights. Then God thundered out of heaven. The high God gave a great shout. The secret sources of ocean are exposed. The hidden depths of earth lie uncovered. The moment you roar in protest, you let loose your hurricane anger. But me he caught. Reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of that ocean of hate, that enemy chaos, the void in which I was drowning. They hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. He stuck by me. He didn't cause it to cease. He stuck by me. And I'm telling you, from my experience, you do not want it to end until you see his face. So quit asking for the breakthrough. Quit asking for the fruit of what you're praying for. Quit asking for a move, even of God. Seek Jesus in the midst of it. So many people run to the altar for Jesus, and he wants to meet you right where you're at. We think we need to do all these things and be all these things. And it's biblical. I have that now. I know that. That when you are in pain and you truly, truly need him and you don't know what to do, you have a private encounter reserved for you. And so many people miss that. There's an intimacy that you get in pain that you get nowhere else. He allows things to happen and it produces character and patience and endurance. It's a beautiful thing. And your guys' town, I've just heard stories. There's so much pain here. And the people outside, they need to know the God man who's willing to sit with them in the midst. Because some of their situations won't change. Suicides, murders. They don't need words. They need someone to come and sit with them and say, I'm here with you. I'm going to stick by you. I'm not going to speak Bible verses and tell you about this far off God. No, I'm going to demonstrate a God man who comes and sits in the midst of it and becomes your joy and peace. That's what he became for me. And I got to know this God who came so close that, and it was just me and him. It was so intimate. I was in a crowded room saying, Jesus, hide me. I can't do today. And he hid me. Jesus, I need something because I'm struggling. I would write in my journal, I don't believe. I don't have faith. I need something. And every single time he came through. And let me tell you, those daily small encounters is what sustains you. It is not the manifestations. Those are good. But in the times when it seems like he's abandoned you, these encounters at the altar and in these moments of highs, that will not sustain you. You need to encounter Jesus who walks with you in your humanity and daily life. Because that is what will sustain you. I learned endurance through this journey. I learned that life is a marathon and Jesus is the one who's running alongside of me, holding signs, saying, "You got this. I'm here with you." He's the one that gave me water when I was dry. He's the one that picked me up when I fell. And I said, "Can this just be over? I'm so done with this." And he said, "I'm here, I know." I didn't know Jesus like that. I knew Jesus who walked on water, who moved in power and wonder. But I didn't know Jesus who cared enough about me to come down and meet me in my pain. The great high priest, the one who knows, who's walked through all the things that we've walked through, that we're tempted with. It says he knows, he can relate. It's what he died for. And my dad always says he didn't die for your ministry, he didn't die for what you do, he died for your life. And that's every single part of it. And that's what I experienced. Was Jesus didn't want to give me a message. He didn't want me to become this perfect person. He wanted me to become me. He wanted my life every single day. And I spent 5 years walking in pain, but I heard him every single day. And that's what he'll do for you as well. I've encountered so many people that have said, "You know, I don't understand how you lasted that long. I don't, gosh, that's such an invitation Jesus, you know, invited you into." And I just began to say, he's invited you too. You just haven't said yes. Because every season of pain, everything you've walked through is an invitation to intimacy. And I'm telling you right now, the intimacy you get through pain, you cannot get it anywhere else. And you want to encounter Jesus, the one who meets you in your mess. And that's what the world needs. They need Jesus, the God-man. Because we are human, like it or not. A lot of people like to act like they're not. A lot of people, you know, everything's good. I don't have emotions. That doesn't offend me. I'm not going to cry at that commercial or whatever. But God made you exactly how he wanted you to be, and he loves your humanity. He loved you so much, he became human. And so the more that we deny the things that make us human, the less we get to truly know Jesus. And all I can say is it is so worth it. I want to know Jesus in every single way that I can on this side of heaven. And it blows me away that for all of eternity, we're just going to get to know him and know him. And I've heard it said that in Revelation 4, when the elders are saying, "Holy, holy," that they look at Jesus, they look at God, and then they toss their crown, and then they look up and they see a whole other aspect, and they're just like, "Oh my gosh, holy. There's another, oh my gosh." And it's all these different sides of his nature. Before I came here, I feel like there's an expectation of encounter. But Jesus wants to encounter you right where you are. He doesn't want to move you into this season of health and wholeness. I mean, he does. That's what he wants for us. But there's things in the middle that you need. There's things in this trial that you're going through that you need. I had this dream one time, and I've never been in a car accident, nor do I want to. But in the dream, I was talking to my friends, and I was like, I think I'm going to be in a car accident. And they said, yeah, I think so too. And as I'm dreaming, I'm out of my dream, and I'm like, that's not something to be flippant or nonchalant about. And so I'm watching myself dream this, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be in a car accident. And they said, sounds good. And I was like, cool, glad we're on the same page, you know, car accident. And the next scene is me in the passenger seat of the car. And then, you know how in movies they show you this outer body experience where you see what's happening to your body, but you're in the spirit? So that's what was happening, and it was this dirt road, and I'm getting further and further away from the car, and I see the car start to shift, and my body in the passenger seat is going like this. And I'm like, oh, there it goes. The car accident's happening. And the more I get pulled back from it, I begin to see that my body is not in danger because there's something holding me. And I start to see that it's an animal, and its paws are wrapped around me. And I'm slowly panning away, and I'm seeing my body's going like this, but I have complete peace because I see that there's something protecting me in the midst of that. And then in the dream, as I get further and further, I start to see that it's a very large animal. And then I see, this gives me chills even thinking about it. Then I see a lion. And in the dream, I'm like, oh, that lion's taking all the hits for me. And then I'm slowly looking at my body, and then I look at the face of the lion, and I look into the eyes, and I wake up shaking, and I say, I just saw the eyes of the Lion of Judah. And I asked people to interpret it for me, and my friend, no offense, who's kind of a nerd, was like, it reminds me of Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia. And she was like, you know, there's a line that says, he's not safe, but he's good. And she said, I feel like fear is decreasing in areas that most people would be afraid. And I was like, okay, I can deal with that. And then my other friend, I was in the middle of my journey with the Lord and fighting and praying for something. And I heard, and she said, I feel like it's your journey that you're in right now. And you don't know what happens at the car accident. Did you see the end? And I said, no. And she said, so you could die? Or it could just be a little wobble? And I said, yeah, I have no idea. And she said, I think it's your journey you're in right now. You don't know the end of this journey. But God's asking you, is it worth it? Because you got to be in his grip and you got to see his face. And I started weeping in the middle of what I was fighting for. And I said, yes, without a doubt, it's worth it. Because I got to see his face and I got to be so tightly held by him. So yes, the pain is worth it right now in the middle of it. And shortly after that, I was fighting for something and praying for 5 years. And then it got to the end of it. And I'm a bold woman, okay? I will do pretty much anything the Lord asks me to do. And I had an opportunity to make this dream happen. And the Lord didn't give me permission. And so I fought for 5 years for something, and the Lord asked me to let it die. And I didn't understand it. So I'm not coming to you with a happy ending. I'm coming to you with what I was praying for did not happen. And I'm saying to you, it was worth it because I got to encounter Jesus in the midst of that. And so some of you guys are praying for things. You're contending. And that's so good. And I'm an intercessor. Yes. But tonight you have an invitation to invite Jesus into the middle of it. and to decide if he is worth it, even if you don't get what you're praying for. Even if you don't reach that promised land. Even if that doesn't happen in your lifetime. Because guess what? Your prayers don't die when you do. There's things that will come in the next generation. And so you need to get that long-term eternal mindset of Jesus, I want to know you in the midst of this, and I want to see you more than I want to see the end result. I want to see you and encounter you and get to know you more than I want to see the fruit, more than I want that job, more than I want that marriage, more than I want those finances, that house, the power, the giftings. And I just, today when I was kneeling here, I just felt Jesus saying, they're missing me. They're looking for what I can do for them. And I just want to sit with them. I want to look into their eyes and talk to them. I want to tell them what I like about them. How they're like me. How I'm so proud of them. And as humans, we're so ready to go and do for him. But guess what? That leads to burnout. Because if you aren't encountering Jesus' heart for you and for your life, you will burn out. And I've seen it happen so many times, especially people in the church. It becomes more about what you're doing for him, and you don't even know his name. You don't know what he likes, what he doesn't like. You're in this lane and he's already over here doing something else. He wants to be one with you. He prayed to the Father. All he wants is oneness. That's why he died, to reconcile us to himself, to bring us into the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're like, yeah, we don't want to, we're going to do stuff for you. Because guess what? It's a lot easier to do something for someone than to actually allow them into your heart. Than to allow them to come into your house when it's a mess. It's a lot easier to keep them at a distance. And I saw in your office the open door. And my counselor told me 2018 is the year of the open door. And my first reaction was, signs, wonders, open door, open heavens. But then as I prayed at our prayer meeting for our house of prayer that we're building, I felt God say, no, I want it to be the open door into the depths of your heart more. I want it to be an open door into each other's hearts. We're always looking for these manifestations, which are good. I'm not knocking that at all. I love seeing the power of God. But something changed in me when I encountered the man that's willing to sit with me. The man who said, you're a mess right now, and I know and I love you in this place. And I'm reminded of John 13. Someone gave me this revelation when I did a house of prayer internship. And in John 13, the scenario is Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas. And they're all sitting around the table. And, you know, John referred to himself as the one Jesus loved. And for so long, I was like, come on, John. Let's get a better title than that, buddy. I mean, that's not going to impress anyone. And so they're sitting at the table, and I forget what was said immediately before this, but Peter looks at John, and he says, because Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And Peter doesn't ask Jesus. He asks John, ask Jesus who's going to betray him. And I never understood that. And then it talks about how John leaned into Jesus' chest and felt that he was troubled. There's a lot of Peters walking around that just want to know from secondhand what Jesus wants them to do. And when I heard that revelation, I said, Jesus, I want to be one who sits in the pain with you. I want to be one who can come to you and feel what's on your heart. I want to enter in. I want to resist the urge to go and do, but I want to be one who enters in and leans back and enters into the pain of what you're suffering right now. Jesus currently is at the right hand of the Father interceding for all of us. And I believe that this church has a call of intercession on it. And intercession is an invitation to intimacy. Because the way that you develop intimacy is knowing what's on someone's heart. Knowing what's in someone's heart. And there's a lot of Peters that are running around and doing things and chopping off, you know, people's ears and jumping impulsively and that are out of step with Jesus. And I believe Jesus is asking for you all to be ones who sit and pause and say, Jesus, what's on your heart? What's troubling you about this town? What do you want to do here? We don't want to just be another church that does church well. We don't want to be a mega church. We don't want to take on all this land and territory. We want to be ones who know what's on your heart and know you. And I believe you guys have had a divine setup from all the pain that surrounds you and that's been in this church. That Jesus wants to equip you in how to walk with pain in such a way that it's a model to everyone around and that it will lead to sustainability. When there's persecution, when we get to the end times, I'm going to go there. He wants to equip you to be ones who know what it's like to say, we don't know what's happening, but we know him. He's good. And he's not just good when it comes through. There's something in me that really is jealous for people to know that he's good when things don't happen the way they want them to. When the story doesn't go the way that you want it to, are you offended? When something interrupts or changes, something that happens that you don't necessarily agree with, is he good? Like Job. Though he slays me, yet I will trust him. And if you don't learn how to walk in pain with Jesus entering in with you, that is when my heart was solidified that he was good. And mine did not happen. I'm not standing here saying, yeah, and you know what? By the way, da-da-da, here it is. No, it died. And he's good. So whatever comes my way, he's good. You can say all this. The world can be shaking. It doesn't matter what's happening in politics. It does not matter. Jesus is good because I spent 5 years getting to know him. And he really loves me. And he really likes me. And he's proud of me. And that will sustain you. And so I believe there's an invitation tonight to open your heart. Another part of this psalm. But me he caught, reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of that ocean of hate, that enemy chaos, the void in which I was drowning. They hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. He stood me up on a wide open field. I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. He rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. So I believe that's the invitation tonight. In the midst. For you to open your heart and say, Jesus, you can come and meet me here. I don't need to be put together. I don't need to be at the end of my journey. Because guess what? The Jesus that you'll encounter, the side of Jesus that you'll encounter at the end of this journey that you're in, is not the same that you would encounter in the pain. And I'm telling you, you want to meet Jesus in the pain. Because he'll be your rescuing knight. He'll be your confidant, your friend, your encourager, your coach saying, you got this. Come on, we can do today. We can do this. And so many people don't know him when he's like that. And I was thinking of Peter. You know, he denied Jesus 3 times. And he's the cornerstone. So who are we to think we're not going to walk through pain and have doubts? Some of you are so angry with God right now that you can't even sing, he's a good father. Some of you have so many questions about the goodness of God. And I get it. And so does he. And he's just waiting for you to say, I don't understand, but I'm willing to give you an opportunity to come meet me here in this place when I don't trust you. I'm not convinced that you're good, so I need you to come show me. I need to be introduced to you as the man who knows what it's like to suffer, what it's like to tarry in the garden saying, God, Father, if there's any other way. And when you get to know that Jesus, you will be sustained through trials. An endurance will come to you that bears fruit in every season. The tree of Jeremiah 17:7-8. When the heat comes, you won't fear. When there's a drought, when you aren't hearing him, when you aren't seeing him move, you will not be moved. And that's who he's calling this church to be. When the waves come, and then the drought. When waves come, the wave comes, and then the sand is dry. And it's like, oh, we need another wave. And that's how his glory comes. It comes in waves. Because guess what? We don't know how to steward his glory when it comes like this. We need character. And so in the year of drought, will you trust him and say that he's good? That's what he's wanting to build into this church, is through every single season, we bear fruit. Fruit that remains. Intimacy. At the end of my journey, people said, oh, well, it must not have been God, you know, because it didn't happen. And it grieved me because it's such an immature thing to look for physical fruit. Because what I gained was intimacy with Christ that will sustain me until the day I die or Jesus comes back. And what I'm jealous for is people that will remain in love and on fire every day of their life. When you are 85, 100, will you still be saying that he's good? Will you still be saying that I love him? That is a rare thing. There's a lot of flash in the pans. A lot of people are on fire and they go out and then they have no root system. So will you guys be okay with being in the middle of a season of drought in order to develop your root system? So that when the waves come, when the heat comes, fruit will still remain and be produced. That's what this town needs. Steadiness. Because there's so much chaos and dysfunction. things happening that you have no control over. They need to see oaks of righteousness. And that's what he's calling you guys to be oaks of righteousness. That no matter what's happening, this is who we are. He's good. We don't understand it. We're not going to act like everything is good. We're going to be human and real and tell people, I don't know what to say. I don't know. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are on him, and he's good. He did it before, and he'll do it again. And if you don't learn that now, you will not remain. Read Revelation. There's a lot of different churches in there. And so I just feel this urge to warn you to not rush through your season of pain and drought, because there's things in that season that he needs for you to get. And there's encounters for you in the small, mundane moments of life. When you're doing laundry, when you're in your business. There's a call to intercession on this church. And guess what? It doesn't mean that you're all going to be quitting your jobs and coming and praying. It's for the whole bride of Christ. It used to just be, oh, the Annas, you know, they remain in the temple. That would be a dream for me. I love praying. But guess what? In order for the return of Jesus and for the church to be ready, the entire bride needs to be equipped. And so intercession is for everybody. Everyone. And God is calling his bride to mature in prayer and in character. Because we need that in order to be sustained through the days that are coming. There's an honesty that needs to occur between you and Jesus in your heart. You need to get real with him. Because once you do, once you put all the pieces before him, he will make your life complete. And the completeness doesn't come when you get what you're asking for. It comes when you get him. And there's a jealousy that I have for you to know him in the way that I experienced. Because I'm leaning back in his chest right now. And he's saying, I want them to know me. I want them to know that it's okay that they have questions about me and what I've done in their life and not done. I want them to know that I'll sit with them in the midst. I want them to know that I love them. And I love this version of them broken before me. I love authenticity. He wants you to know him. Not just do things for him in his name. Too many people are doing things without knowing him. And I just feel Jesus saying, my desire is that they'd be one with me. Do they understand what that means? I want them to know my heart. I want to meet them in the cool of the day. I want them to know my thoughts for them. So I think I want to invite you guys first to honesty. Because some of you are asking for Jesus to move in your life. But I pray that he doesn't move in your life until you meet him. I pray that your prayer is no longer Jesus, please do this in my life. Please shift this. But it turns to what I said of, Jesus, I don't understand and I'm in pain, but I want to meet you here. I want to encounter you. I want to be taken to that private audience. And so first, for honesty, Jesus knows your heart. You can't hide it from him. And some of you are very angry with him. You're upset with how things turned out. You're offended. And he's asking for an opportunity to meet you in that. And he's saying, I know you don't understand, but can I just walk with you in this? I want to teach you my ways. I want to show you my goodness in the midst of death, in the midst of pain. And the other invitation, I believe, is to invite him into that after. Because I believe there's going to be a huge move of God in this town, in this church. I believe it's a city on a hill. I believe the waves are coming. But you want those to be sustained. You need character. You need intimacy. The oil that you get in pain, in allowing Jesus in the midst of daily life, that's the oil that sustains. The move of God, an encounter, changes everything. But guess what? What happens the next day? You can't live off that encounter for long. He wants to meet you every single day. And so many people are saying, well, it's supposed to look like this, or can't wait to get to church because I want to encounter Jesus. Whew. He wants to meet you wherever you are. Whenever, wherever. When you're in pain, when you're having really good times, when you're laughing. I encountered Jesus watching this kid do his little guitar. That was amazing. And the more you get to know Jesus, the more you see him in everything. So the move, things are coming here. But I feel this warning of, don't rush through the season of drought and transition. You're in this middle ground, I feel. And things are about to break open. But please don't miss the Jesus that encounters you in the hallway before. He wants to meet you. And I'm telling you, it's worth it. And that is what this town needs. I believe it so strongly. This church has to be one of endurance and steadiness, and who knows a God who walks through pain, to be able to go out there and say, I don't know what to say, but I can introduce you to a man. His name is Jesus, and he's God, but he wants to come and hold you and speak to you and walk with you daily, to lead you into health and wholeness and move with you through the seasons of life. That's what this town needs. We have to learn how to steward pain well. And it's by inviting him in and saying, I need joy and peace right now. Joy and peace is you, Jesus. I need you in this, in the midst. So I think I'm just going to start to pray. Again, not a professional, so just. So Jesus, I just thank you. Jesus, I thank you that you cared so much about us that you became like us. And that you took that on for all of eternity just so we could hear your voice. So we could be with you. And I thank you that you're not looking to the end. You want us right now in the midst of our brokenness and pain. And I thank you, Jesus, that you intercede for us daily. You're our rescuing knight. Jesus, I thank you for your heart. And Lord, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just breathe courage into this room. Courage to be vulnerable before you. I ask for a hunger to know you, Jesus, in deeper ways. I ask that we wouldn't be so quick to seek the promise. Because all the promises are yes and amen in Christ. So even that scripture, in Christ, Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about knowing you. It's like Paul said, I count everything as lost for knowing Jesus. So I just ask that this church, this people, everyone in this room, that we would take on the identity of the one Jesus loved. That we would move into a new identity of sons and daughters who wouldn't be known for what we do, but we would be so content in just being with you, Jesus, in being known by you. May that be our goal, always, to know you and to be known by you. May you become the one that we turn to, our confidant, our encourager, our friend. Lord, I ask that this church would be filled with friends of God. I ask that they would move into a new level from servants to friends. Servants don't know what the master's doing. And you're calling them into friendship with you. Partnership. Friends who know your heart. Friends who want to move and create and do things out of being. So I thank you for the shift of the identity from servants to calling you master and boss, and that shifting to becoming friends. Lord, I ask that this church would, that in out of this room, that Marys would be just called up. I thank you that there's intercessors in here. Marys that ponder things in their heart. That aren't quick to do, but they want to just sit at your feet. Marys who when things are happening around, we sit at your feet and you weep with us. Lord, I ask that this church would mourn with those who mourn. That there would be a spirit of lament on this church in order to enter into the pain of those outside of the church. I ask that as a body that they would enter into that mourning when others are mourning, into suffering when others suffer. To entering into each other's mess, to not hide it. Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that the mask would be dropped right now. That people would have the courage, and that this would be a place of safety for people to be themselves. I ask for an equipping to be family members who see and know one another deeply, but who also call each other up and out with grace. So Jesus, I just thank you for the journey that you took me on. And I thank you that you're no respecter of persons. That you have an invitation to intimacy for every single person in this room. And your heart's desire, your biggest heart's desire, is that they would know you and that they would become friends with you. So I just ask in your name, Jesus, that people all across this room would step into honesty with you. They would put all the pieces of their life before you, and they would watch and be in awe how you make them complete just by being with them and walking on the journey. And that this church wouldn't be sprinters, but they would be marathon runners that endure the test of time and trial. I just speak endurance over everyone in this room. And I ask that you would equip them to remain in love with you all the days of their life. That they would have seasons, and through every season, whether it's in drought, whether it's in plenty, every circumstance, they would say that you're good, and they would know that in their heart. That those wouldn't just be words that they know to be true because someone told them that, or because they read the Bible, but that their heart would be convinced in Jesus' name. I ask that you would begin to convince their hearts that you're good. And that we wouldn't be content with just having secondhand revelation. I ask for a hunger to spring up in Jesus' name to know you, to know your heart, to know your thoughts. What do you want to do in this town? I ask that there would be a holy pause before anything is done. That they would be comfortable in the stillness, in the waiting. When chaos is all around, I ask that they would be still and know that you're God. And I thank you for the deep well that you're creating, where others can come and drink from, that never runs dry, because they're abiding in the source. They're abiding in the vine. So I ask that they would all learn to lean into you, to be bent towards you.